Off the Ball, GAA.
We just need to keep pushing forward, and the games that we have lost, we've only lost very narrowly by a point or 2 points in the last couple of years, and we just need to stick with it because we have been so close.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Word on the Street. It is episode 46, if you can believe it. And we're very excited to have a bit of a special episode today. And we are joined in studio by James Ellison and Holly Smith of Team HSO, a professional Irish motorcycling team, who are preparing for the new BMW F900 series, which starts next month. James, Holly, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having us on, Eve.
No problem. Thank you very much.
And Rachel is over there on Zoom. Rachel, how are you?
Over there is an interesting way to introduce Park. How are you guys?
Really good.
Very
yeah.
good, thank you.
Lovely to be joining you virtually.
you had a bit of a tricky journey in either yesterday or today to the city. I saw on Instagram, did you get caught in the protests?
Yeah, it was. It was a little bit hairy at times, wasn't it? But the train, thankfully public transport actually prevailed between yesterday and today, so we were okay. But it was actually quite nice. Dublin City's nice and peaceful.
Oh, so. Stunning. Yeah, I've never seen it like that before. Every time we come in, whether it's during the day or at night time, it's just hectic. So, I'm not a city person. Yeah, I'm not a city person at all. So when I came in today, it was just so peaceful. It's nice. We're probably going to hang out here for the rest of the day, I think.
Freak out when I see a bus stop, so I was like, I have to get the train twice in 2 days.
God bless public transport. I'm sure you wish you could have had a motorcycle. Just
oh, absolutely, oh yeah.
So much easier.
Scoot up the hard shoulder.
So I guess
does it affect you?
Us?
Yeah.
It does and it doesn't really. We're kind of, we're sort of North County Dublin, so yeah, it does and it doesn't. We're not actually near a public transport route, so we did actually have to drive to a train station, which was a little bit touch and go. We literally left with like an hour to spare and we're 10 minutes from the train station, so yeah. We were taking no chances today.
We had a little bit of a run at was it Comley we had to swap at?
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
it was a bit hectic, but everyone did the same. We ran to I think it was platform 5, we're all stood there and it said out of service, and we're like, great. And obviously everyone had the same issue, and then they shouted over the tannoy platform 6 and everyone just ran through the tunnel up to the other side, and we just made it with the doors closing. So yeah, a little bit hectic, but it was eventful.
Oh, it'd been like sardines in the Lewis the past few days.
Yeah.
I suppose first of all, just to kind of give people listening, because it's a bit of a niche sport, certainly in Ireland, kind of a bit of an insight into your own journeys to get to where you are right now. I know, James, you've had a long and successful career in professional motorcycling. Was it always something that you wanted to do? Is this where you always wanted to end up?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's just, it's all I've known, to be honest with you. I've ridden motorcycles since I was 3 years old, myself and my brother, so it was in our blood. My dad used to race, and that was kind of, it just became my life. And I did that for, I had a long career, a successful career, and then it was kind of just before COVID, everything kind of came to a head. I suffered from a really bad spinal injury. I'd already signed a contract for the following year, and I wasn't quite performing where I should have been the year before that, just through to injury. So my career kind of came to a halt unexpectedly, and then when I kind of just wanted to get back into it, COVID hit, so I spent a couple of years off the bike, to be honest with you, and didn't really think I'd get back on one again, and that's where Holly came into it, and we kind of got back on track, and it was, the story came from basically her giving me a bit of encouragement, a lot of encouragement, to get me back out there on a bike, and that's where kind of her journey started with racing as well. So I'll pass it over to her and let her explain.
Yeah, well, back in 2022, I think, was when I met James, and I was kind of just helping him. My background is marketing. I have my own digital marketing agency, and I was kind of working with different companies sort of as a consultant, you know, doing anything from online stuff to going, and James brought me into the world of trying to find him sponsors, which is something a little bit different, but had a go with that. And that's kind of how we met. And then we just kind of kept going to the racing, and sort of things escalated and all the rest of it. And I said, look, you're too good of a talent to not be back on a motorcycle. So kind of made it our business to try and make that happen. And in the end of 2023, I actually set up a podcast called Back on Track, and pun was intended to get James back on track. But the irony was we never actually recorded a podcast. We literally just used it as a platform to actually, you know, get him back on a bike and get him kind of out in the public eye again. Because obviously when you're, I think people underestimate professional sports people sometimes, you know, they too, like anybody, their confidence can be knocked. Their self-esteem can be, you know, lowered when you're away from the sport that you know and love. And I suppose that judgment of, oh God, what will people think when I come back in and whatever. So I basically had this like step-by-step platform sent out as to what like we were going to do and what how we were going to get to where we got to. And then ultimately, that was the end of 2023. 2024, we wildcarded in Navarra. So a wildcard, for anyone that isn't familiar with motorsport, is where you basically do a one-off round. In our case, we were doing two. We were doing a Spanish round and we were doing Donington World Superbikes, which is a really big sort of highly promoted event on TNT Sports. So that was the plan. And then James ended up getting sort of headhunted, so to speak, by another team. And they were like, look, your results at the Spanish round, it was fantastic, you were on the podium, we want to give you a ride. And stayed there for most of that season until at the end we actually went out on our own. And that was always the plan, was I always wanted to run a team and
yeah,
have James ride with me.
I was about to ask, I think, was it all leading towards...
Oh yeah,
yes.
there was always an ulterior motive. There was always a grand plan there, you know, and it was just brilliant that the end of 2024 we were able to do that. We actually won the last race, which was really special, because during that year in the July, it would have been the June and July, my dad's best friend, who was actually Aidan, he was the person who got me into motorbikes. We would go, you know, racing as a child, and he'd follow us around, and we'd go to, you know, all of the events in the island of Ireland, and he suddenly died in June. So I was like, oh my God, we're going to fast track the plan and we're going to make this happen this year, you know, so which we did. And obviously James won at Brands Hatch. My mum and dad were there. It was such a mad occasion. It was just like, you know, all the emotions, but it was brilliant to do that. And then 2025, we had set the year up to form HSO, which is the team we have now for this year. Unfortunately, and James, that's probably where you can kind of tell that story.
Thanks.
It didn't actually really go to plan, which you've probably seen.
Yeah, I mean, we'd planned on obviously starting, we'd left the last round at the end of 2024. We won the last race, so we were going into the off season fairly confident that we were coming in as favourites, one of the favourites to win the championships. We put all the graft in, wanted to do it properly. We, you know, it was the start of Team HSO, and our main focus was just go out and win the championship. And cut a very long story short, we got to the first round straight away. We were on the pace. We hadn't done any winter testing. We're right at the front again. And then over the weekend, the bike, it became apparent to us that the bike needed an engine refresh. Basically, once you get too many miles on the bike, it starts to deteriorate, get slow. And it was getting slower and slower all weekend, to a point where I actually had to pull in. So that round was written off, but we knew we still had the pace. We had 5 weeks till the next round. So we sent the bike off to get rebuilt. And in that gap, I got offered a ride at MotoGP Wildcard, another one event.
Oh, wow, yeah.
On the Superstock class, which was a very prestigious event. And I thought, I wanted to take Holly to a MotoGP round. I thought, perfect, I get to ride a bike as well. And it was a friend of mine actually running the team. We went out, we were doing very well in the race, running top 10, which nobody kind of expected. I'd been off a big bike for a long time. And it started raining in the race and caught me out. And I basically high-sided, landed very hard and snapped my pelvis in half, like literally completely in half. It wasn't a crack, it was just split in two. So I didn't realise it was that bad at the time. So it was a tough situation, especially for Holly, because again, fast forward, I ended up spending a few days in hospital, and she'd never experienced anything like that before. To me, it was just another incident. I'd been through a few in my career, and it was just another kind of blip, another bump in the road. But obviously, looking back now and shortly after the event, I realised how much Holly had to actually go through for that. It was quite traumatic. Like I said, it was a serious injury. There was risk of bleeding out. There was risk of, after the operation, not even coming back. And it was, it was tough. It was tough for her to go through, especially at such a young age and not dealing with anything like that before. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for what she kind of dealt with and went through, and for still to be continuing to want to achieve what we've set out to do.
There's obviously a screw not right.
Yeah, but, you know, again, fast forward, I got the pelvis screwed back together. They had to cut my quad muscle off to get to the nerves and to the plate. We had to plate everything up, screw it all up, got it all back working again. We were in and out of Dublin going to a hyperbaric chamber and getting therapy, so Holly was driving in and out every single day to get me back fit again. We spent 3 months doing that, and we managed to do the last couple of rounds. We thought, well, we may as well do them. So, you know, I wasn't 100% fit, so we entered the next round, which would have been in Holland, the round at Amsterdam, which we do every year, and straight away right at the front again, and we led most of the race. I made a tiny little mistake on the last lap and finished third, but we still finished on the podium, and then fighting for the final round at Brands Hatch as well. So again, we still know we can win this championship, so we're desperate to come back next year and finish off where we kind of started, really.
Yeah, brilliant.
James, if I could just ask you, I know it's probably something that you're always asked about, but when you're coming off the bike like that, do you know exactly what's happening straight away? Are you trying to fall off to protect yourself, or are you going at such high speeds that it's totally out of control?
If you can't, I mean, I crashed, it would have been over 100 mile an hour, so you kind of, it was quick, but it kind of feels like slow motion. As you see it happening, it kind of unfolds in front of you. You think, there's nothing you can do about it. You just think, right, you're looking for kind of soft places to land and what, you know, kind of how to react and how to roll. But sometimes it's kind of out of your control. So what had actually happened was a guy had crashed directly in front of me, and we're literally traveling like inches apart at that speed, and it was the first lap of the race, so everybody's bunched around you, and he crashed in front of me and basically wiped me out. And I actually fractured, I forgot to mention before, we actually broke my pelvis again, the same injury, but it cracked it in a completely different place. But because it was all screwed together, all it did was bend the screws and crack through the pelvis again, so it still held in place. So yeah, it was another big one. But you don't, going back to what you said, you don't really get to choose where you land, but you kind of learn over time just to relax. That's the best thing you can do, is just relax. If you start tensing and panicking, that's when bones really do start snapping and mangling themselves together. So the best thing to do is just accept the fact that it's going to happen and go, take a deep breath, get up, move your digits, make sure everything works, and then kind of hopefully walk off.
And psychologically, getting back up on the bike after, like, I know, Holly, you probably had the same experience getting back up on the horse. You know, you're from an equine background, but is it something that you really have to work on, or did you even think, like, not a second thought, I'm just getting straight back up?
I had to think about it more than you did, I think. Yeah. I was like, no, don't do this again. And then he started to get better, and you kind of, it was so inevitable, really, wasn't it?
Role reverse. The first time I actually watched Holly go and ride, I was filming. We've got a video somewhere. We'll post it after this. And I was a nervous wreck, because she got on this horse, and to me, I don't know much about horses at all, but she got on this horse. It was where was it at? A test?
Oh, it was just an equestrian centre. I was trying to get my own racehorse back to kind of fitness at the time, and I said, I'll do a little warm up and go to this equestrian centre. Anyway, went, and I said, as long as I don't get a colour pony, I'll be fine, you know, because I'd be used to riding thoroughbreds and stuff. So I was thinking, this pony is going to be a nightmare. Anyway, they bring out the smallest black and white pony that they had in the place. I was like, oh Jesus, okay. So anyway, got on, did what I had to do, and I just didn't have any trust in it. Anyway, lo and behold, I'm going into this jump, it was a straight pole, and I'm like, this isn't going to get over this. And I'm there, come on, come on, come on, stopped completely dead. I literally like went over the pole. Did I bang my head or my hip or something?
I
anyway, big thud onto the thing. And James is like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, but the difference is that was at like 20 mile an hour. Yours is like, you know, six or seven times that. So how do you think I feel?
That's the worst thing though for us. Like, we're traveling at such speed anyway. When you crash, you tend to slide. So I'd much rather jump on a 250 horsepower bike than get on a one horsepowered horse, because you don't have control of it. You know, it does its own thing. And I could see watching this horse, like I said, I don't know much about horse, but I could see it didn't look quite right. So I was filming it, and I was dead nervous anyway. And I just kind of felt like something was going to happen. I was absolutely nervous wreck. And as soon as she flicked off, I was like, right, do I jump on? Do I go and rescue? I was like, I don't know CPR. What do I do?
It was,
I started
really
panicking. So God knows what she feels like when we're out.
I was like, I was kind of felt a bit winded. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to go and get a glass of water. And I said to James, I was like, let's get the hell out of here. I was like, I'm not getting back up on that thing. I was like, let's go home to my own horse.
But that's interesting, even in a way, the comparison. Like, as you mentioned that you had a break from motorcycling for a couple of years around COVID. Is it different from when you were younger, kind of pre that break, getting back on a bike after an injury? Or is it different now, or is it the same kind of, you know, you're always going to get back on a horse, you just need to trust the material beneath you?
Yeah, I think it was the same, really. It was just the confidence came from the fact that I'd been out of competition for a while. We're still heavily involved in the paddock. I was employed by MSVR, which run the British Superbikes events, to look after the younger kids, because I'd had that much experience. I was there as like a rider coach. Mm. And Holly was coming around with me as well, helping the younger guys kind of learn the ropes, really. So I was still heavily involved, but there was always that itch at the back going, you know, I just want to get back out again. And I was still on track coaching, but I wasn't competing. And I felt like the longer I was off, so it came to 2.5, maybe 3 years where I was off properly competing. I'd do the odd little club race, but I wasn't competing professionally anymore. But that fire was still there, but the confidence wasn't. Mm. And that's where Holly came in and was like, look, just get back out on a bike. And the first time we went out on Nevada, that first wild card that we mentioned before, the first session we came in P2. And that was it. Instantly came back. I was like, right, this is what I need to be doing. And that's, you know, I'll be forever grateful for that. You know, I thought that was my career kind of ended. So all I've been in it a long time. I've won championships before. I've been through it. And now all I want to do really is help Holly fulfil her dream of winning, you know, being the youngest female to win a British championship. And this year we're full steam ahead, prepared for that. And that's all I can kind of give her back is just to get this championship back under our belt.
Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
Was it a very instant kind of click in the sense of you know, the team that you're building and kind of the journey that you are on? Was it instant, or how much work had to go into making sure that it was as successful as it's been?
Oh, a lot of work went in initially, yeah, and it never really stops. I think there was more work went in kind of like laterally in sort of 2023 into probably even early 25. So I'm going to give it maybe 18 months of it was literally just trying to get everything together. But as well as that, like, and you know, you two will probably understand this a little bit more as well. You know, as a female, you sometimes have to actually go the extra mile and actually trying to prove that, you know, do you know what, I can actually do this. And by the way, it is me that has kind of come up with this mad idea, like, because people were kind of maybe walking the paddock and they're like, it's only like, oh, is James bringing you along by the hand kind of thing? And I'm kind of going, no, actually, but if that's what you want to think. Now, before I used to get really annoyed about it and I'd actually just nearly like just go mad, but now I kind of just see it as it's actually something quite funny. And I suppose, like, in now that we have that sort of authentication, if you like, now that we're kind of like, look, we've been around a couple of years now, so we are actually legit, and we are, like, you know, we're growing, and we've brought other riders in, and we've brought other personnel in, if you like. People are starting to actually take you that little bit more seriously. And just to add, it's actually fantastic. We are a female dominated team this year. We have a social media manager is coming in. She's a young female starting out in this kind of world, and we actually have a female mechanic as well, which is brilliant. So there's myself, the two girls, James, and then my brother Sam. He's coming in. He's our trainee mechanic, if you like, as well. So he's been brilliant, and he's always a great help to you as well. But yeah, it's kind of evolved over the years, you know. But initially, it was a lot harder. Now it's kind of, you just have to keep things ticking over, and you kind of have to keep the management going. But I'm hoping now with the guys on board, we had a bit of a dry run at the last round last year with our kind of full team for this year, and it was great to kind of see how it all works. And you know, obviously having an additional kind of bike maintenance person in sort of situ, it gives James a little bit of respite in between, you know, races, and kind of, you know, to prep and just have lunch, to be honest with you, because there was a couple of rounds where he was doing that much. He was running around like a blue arse fly, like he literally couldn't even take a bite of a sandwich. So
I couldn't wait to get out on the bike.
Yeah, no, so it's brilliant that we actually have all that support now. But that came from a couple of years of hard work and just trying to, like, really a bit of fake it till you make it, to be honest as well, like, you know, and just saying, no, we have all this money and yeah, we're great and we're whatever, and we're like literally going, okay, we can't actually afford to go in 2 weeks, but anyway, how we do it, you know. So yeah, it is a lot of kind of just, you know, bit of gift of the gab added in there as well.
Do you think that fed into your decision, and it would have been a lot easier for you to join an established team either here or maybe in the UK, but you know, taking a difficult path to set up your own team, but now you've been able to put whoever you want around you, and like especially bringing more females into the world. Do you think that fed into that decision?
Yeah, well, like I worked when I went over in 22, I think it was, I was working with a couple of teams and I was just like, oh God, they just weren't as professional for my liking, I suppose.
All glamorous.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh God, I'd love to be able to do something. And to be honest, it was the actual championship that we're in that kind of gave me the push to do it, because I was looking up, it's on the more affordable kind of scale, and I was going, God, don't actually need a whole lot of money to, you know, make this possible. And I was thinking, and I said, you know what, let's try it, you know, and we try and run it as HSO. But yeah, I've always been, from a very young age, I've always had sort of an entrepreneurial mindset. You know, when I was about 7 or 8, I was going to craft fairs selling bracelets because I was like, no, I want to have my own business. And then I jumped to something else. Then I wanted to train horses. Then I was going to be a jockey, but I was like, well, no, because then I'm under the trainer. I'd rather be the trainer. So I've always kind of wanted to do my own thing, so to speak. And I think it was the same then with this. So I was like, well, do you know what? It'd be just brilliant to actually, a couple of years of kind of hard work to actually get the end goal and the reward of being able to just align yourself with good people and be in control as well of a situation where if somebody isn't pulling their weight, that you do have the power to go, well, look, you're just not aligning with our brand anymore. Because I think the problem is, and it's like yourselves, you'll know when you're going into a working environment and there could be just that one person that you're like, oh Jesus, this is just completely changing the whole dynamic. But I suppose if you're a little bit more in the driving seat behind what you want your kind of your brand and your image to be, you can make those important decisions that sometimes can actually, in a racing context, make or break how you're going to perform. You know, if you have a mechanic that's just not pulling their weight or not screwing up a bolt, that could be game over, you know. So you have to be very vigilant and kind of really, you know, make sure you have the right kind of personnel around you. But yeah, no, I'm delighted I kind of put in all the hard work all those years ago, because it's kind of paying off a little bit now. So it's been good.
And I suppose, so I've been, Rachel probably can kind of relate to this, when you're working in sports, we're often perhaps maybe the only women in the room or in any kind of given scenario when you're in this kind of industry. And even when you were saying earlier on, you know, I was helping train the guys, it's very much a kind of a male dominated industry still. How much of a female presence is there if it's not being kind of pushed by, you know, yourself and your team? But like, if you look down the paddock, or if you're looking at different circuits that you're going to, is it still very much like a lads club?
It's getting better now,
it's
isn't
getting
it?
There's better, a yeah. Female it is getting champion, better.
Female world championship as well. And when I say guys, that's just me. I say guys, lads.
No, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, but to be
there
fair,
there was actually a lot of females in the championship.
There was two.
There was two running in that event. But there's a lot of females in the paddock now with the world women's championship on board. But it is still very male dominated, and it's difficult. You know, and I've seen the troubles that Holly's had to deal with coming into it, and people just, you know, having trust in her and believing in it, and just herself not having the self-confidence because she knows it's male dominated. But I think the motorcycle industry itself, it's, you know, it's kind of opened up to female presence now, and I think it's absolutely fantastic. So I think Holly's kind of gaining confidence now with, you know, meeting more people, team managers, everyone kind of has that belief in her, and you know, the amount of compliments that she gets that she won't even know of behind the back that people talk to me about. It's you know, for me, it's what's the word? I'm trying to think of a word at the minute, but I'm just making me so proud of what she's done and what she put into it, because people are seeing, you know, what she's capable of, and that's all I'm after.
Yeah, I think
you take a lot from horse riding and that world there, Holly, because, you know, we've seen so many female role models and leaders stand up, and they're not female jockeys, they're just jockeys.
You know, absolutely. Yeah, well, like Rachel Blackmore is, you know, she was kind of my, well, I suppose when I go back, when I first got into horse racing, it was Katie Walsh and Nina Carberry, and they were kind of who was sort of trailblazing at the time, and, you know, they were winning Grand Nationals and all this sort of, you know, great stuff. And then I actually remember it was a really wet day in Fairy House, and Rachel was coming out of the parade ring, out of the weigh room, going into the parade ring, and I was like, oh, can I have a photograph with you? Because she was the only female jockey actually riding at the on the day, and she was so nice and so smiley, and I was laughing to think, like, 15 years later or whatever it is, like, all that she has achieved and surpassed, you know, nearly everybody, you know, before her. Just fantastic. And yeah, you can't look past those kind of people, you know, and take inspiration from what they've done, and probably probably had to deal with as well, you know. And, you know, you kind of have to tune off, I suppose, to even things online or what people say to you, you know. And I sometimes think it's easier said than done. But I think when you align yourself and you bring good people around you as well, it gives you that confidence as well, you know. Like Rachel has had some fantastic people around her, you know, in her husband Brian, you know, Patrick Mullins, Henry de Bromhead. They're just fantastic people, you know, outside of sport, you know. So I think that's something that I probably in the early days didn't do for myself. You know, I'd kind of play it safe and go, oh, well, I'll just kind of stay over here because they're kind of like, you know, maybe at the same sort of not level as where we were like in our championship or whatever. But I was kind of probably wasn't fitting in because I wasn't aligning myself where I needed to be. And I think that comes with confidence, you know, and actually asking people and then them sort of turning around and kind of respecting you because you've made that initial step. And a lot of that as well, looking past even the females in sport, you know, Eddie Jordan was a massive idol of mine, you know, and the great stuff he did for Ireland, you know, on the platform of Formula One. Now that's, Jesus, that's a good few levels ahead of what we're doing, but it's something to at least aspire to. And if you can only get even to half of what he achieved, well, Jesus, you've done something good, like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, there's so many role models though, you know, and as I say, Rachel Blackmore looking at horse racing would have to be, you know, my one to go to.
And I suppose looking ahead to next month, is this when it's the BMW F900?
Oh, don't say that. I can't believe it's so soon.
Well, that's what I want to ask about. Like, what's the preparation looking like right now? What's your day-to-day looking ahead to next month?
Well, James, it's kind of, it's all on you at the moment, isn't it?
At the minute,
getting up to fitness.
It is. I mean, it is. People don't see how much... obviously, I'm, you know, I'm not as at my peak fitness now I was when I was racing full time, but it's still, you know, it's every day. We're training every single day. I'm actually a qualified personal trainer now as well, based on the knowledge that I've learned over the years. All you did was basically train, you had nutritionists. So I've built my own program to do, which I've been sticking to through winter. Every single day I train at Wellfit in Skerries. So the guys there have been absolutely great. It's only 5 or 10 minutes from the house. So yeah, basically my job is just to keep fit and to try and get some sponsorship money in between the two of us. Is build the budget for the year, because you know, essentially that's the sort of stumbling block really, is financially. Yeah, it's cheaper than most other championships, or if not all championships, but it's still very expensive. And Holly's come up with some clever ways to try and fund the team. We've set up a club membership. We've got like 100 members that join. You pay your £77 to be a member of the 77 club, and with that you get a few little nice treats, some mugs and some caps and kind of all sorts of, not caps, sorry, some badges, all sorts of things that memorabilia. We give free coffee at the weekend. I was sponsored by a coffee company, so people can come along, hang out with the team morning and get coffee for the weekend, kind of mingle and chill and just be part of the team. And yeah, we've got some other initiatives coming up to try and help get some money in. But that's the hardest thing, really, is just speaking to people every day, doing stuff like this, trying to get, you know, our message out there, our sort of story out there, and get people on board and kind of come along with the journey, really.
Yeah, it's always hard, I suppose, you know, trying to get, especially kind of, you know, you're looking for bigger businesses to be able to, you know, give more funds, I suppose, you know, and your everyday person probably couldn't afford it. So another campaign, like James was saying, we've our 77 club, is Thread Together. So basically our biggest bill in the whole year is our tyres. So yes, tyres for a year, probably looking about 10,000-12,000 really, like if you take into consideration all of our testing. So it's tough. We have probably, we're just under halfway there, so it's a little bit of kind of just like going, kind of seeing how we get on. But yeah, we've a campaign set up for that. So it's basically, you can buy us a set of tyres and you can have your sticker on the bike at the weekend, you buy those tyres for. So it's all about sort of just fan engagement and kind of activation, you know, that sort of way. So
and how many rounds is this tournament? Is it 8 rounds, am I correct?
There's 9 rounds. There's 11 in the full British Superbike Championship, but we do 9 of them. It's probably enough. I like having 2 off to kind of, you know, get a bit of a breather in between. But no, it's brilliant, and it runs alongside the British Superbike Championship. So, you know, you get absolutely maximum crowds every weekend. You know, it's a really cool championship to be part of.
That's huge, yeah.
So heavily backed by BMW, you know, and it's really exciting as well. It's a really close sort of, it's close racing. You know, you see across some of the other championships, you'll always kind of have maybe the top sort of 5 will kind of head off down the road and kind of leave kind of a trail somewhat. But this is really,
sorry,
really
Holly,
close. Yeah.
Like, just for the people that might know, like, everyone's on the same bike in this, isn't it? So like, there's no disparity in terms of what we might consider with F1. It's the team who has the most money are probably going to win.
Yeah, well, basically, it's they're 105 brake horsepower, all BMW F900s. There's very minimal that you can do to, it's down to rider, really, the caliber of the rider that's on the bike. You know, there's very little you can do to tweak them or change them. You can kind of, you can play around with sprockets, can't you?
Yeah,
you can
go to the gearing and suspension setup, so you can alter the suspension. So there is a lot of sort of input you can put into the bike, but everyone essentially has the same tools for the job, and that's what's great about it. You know, that you can kind of filter out who are the decent riders, who are the good riders, who kind of knows how to set the bike up. And we've obviously got 2 years experience on the bike, so there's a little few tricks, isn't there, that we've learned along the way with gearing and various setup and little secrets that we have. And going back before to, you know, the presence that we have in the paddock now, just to touch base on what an impact Ollie's actually made to run a team. We actually had, there's a guy that's running the championship this year that wants to do a couple of rounds, and he actually won the championship 2 years ago, and he called us and said, look, I love the way you guys are set up, I want to do a couple of rounds this year, I haven't got the money to do all of them, do you mind if I come and set up in your kind of awning and kind of run under the HSO banner? So yeah, and you know, I think stuff like that kind of just shows how much of an impact we've had. You know, we don't just show up to ride a bike, we show up to win a championship and do it properly, and that's all come from the work and effort that Ollie's put into it and her mentality. So yeah, it's fantastic.
I suppose that's what I kind of wanted to finish with, is what's a successful year looking like for you guys? Is it the championship and nothing
else?
Winning.
That's it. And honestly,
simply winning.
If I don't, after the finish line, if I'm not P1, I think I'll just head for the main gate. M1, I'm gone. Because I wouldn't want to deal
See
with
Get on the boat at Belfast.
No, we put the work in, so hopefully we'll reap the rewards.
Like, I'm very excited now to be following your journey.
Hey, you better follow along now.
just a quick one. I don't know when this is going out, but we're actually going down to Kiri's BMW Motorrad dealership this Sunday. So if anyone wants to come down, have a chat, and I'll treat you to a coffee and a cake or whatever, and just come and see what it's all about.
God, you didn't even buy me coffee.
So Kiri's have their demo day where people can turn up and take out the brand new BMW. So we'll be down there, basically. We were going to take the bike, but the bodywork's still off getting painted. But we'll be there just to have a chat if anyone wants to come down and say hi.
And are the races televised? Are they on YouTube?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they're on TNT Sport.
Lovely.
And it's brilliant. You can just go on and, you can watch.
Yeah, we're live every weekend.
Live every weekend.
And the first is?
The 15th to the 17th of May.
Lovely.
Donington Park.
Oh, fabulous.
Be there or be square.
I was looking at the schedule earlier on, and I saw Brand's Hatch. I love Brand's Hatch.
Oh, do you? Well, so you'd have to come over. I'll get you a pit lane pass.
Don't tempt me, because I will. Listen, Holly, James, thank you so much for chatting to us today. Rachel, thanks for joining us on Zoom.
Yeah, thank you.
And the best of luck for this year.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.